You're listening to Conservation Corner here on 99.5 FM, KTWH LP, Two Harbors, Minnesota. I'm your host, Emily Nelson, and today I'll be talking with our district manager, Dan Schutte, about the highlights of the past year at Lake County Soil and Water Conservation District. But first, over the past year, our staff has doubled in size, so I wanted to give you all the chance to meet everyone.
My name is Courtney Olson. I'm the GIS technician for Lake County Soil and Water. So that means I make all the maps for everybody in the office, and I've got some of my own projects, like the culvert inventory of Lake County, and Two Harbors has a stormwater assessment coming up as well.
My name is Darren Lilja, and I actually have two positions. I work for both the U.S. Forest Service and for Lake County Soil and Water Conservation District. For the Forest Service, I'm a biological science technician. Basically, that means I monitor the health and the human impacts of water and aquatic organisms on the Superior National Forest. For Lake County SWCD, I'm the Rainy River Headwaters Outreach Coordinator. I provide guidance and technical assistance on water quality and invasive species issues. I provide that to various local entities, including lake associations, local educational programs, and some of our seasonal interns. I also work on forging new partnerships with other organizations that are working within the county on common goals. Basically, I'm an all-around technician for water quality and aquatic biology in northern Lake County.
I'm Derek Passy. I work with Lake County SWCD, and I do a lot of work with aquatic invasive species, work with a lot of lake associations up in the Rainy River headwaters of Lake County. I also get to go out and see all the new stuff that's happening with potential projects that have wetland impacts, the WACA, Representative Wetland Conservation Act. It's kind of fun to get you out and seeing places where things might be happening or where people are running into wetlands that they don't want to fill or try to avoid. Every once in a while, I get to play with engineering, which is what my technical background was in.
My name is Karen Tucker. I'm the district clerk for Lake County Soil and Water. I do payroll and the books, keep track of all the invoicing, and make sure the money keeps flowing.
My name is Max Forster, and I'm the invasives team coordinator at Lake County SWCD. And my job duties include attending to the social media specific to invasive species management, as well as doing field work and actual invasive species management, which we actually did a pretty extensive project in the Memorial Lake area in Two Harbors, Minnesota. We took out tansy and replaced them with native species we hope that can outcompete the tansy next spring.
Hi, my name is Paul Trickstead. I have been spending my summer months working with Lake County Soil and Water. I am an aquatic invasive species technician. I spent my time in the midsection of Lake County inspecting lakes for aquatic invasive species such as rusty crayfish, spiny water fleas, invasive snails, and a variety of vegetation that's invasive to our area. I also spend time speaking with boaters and doing some inspections to help control the spread of invasive species, as well as educating boaters as far as what they can do to individually control the spread of these creatures.
All right. Well, that wasn't quite everyone. Of course, you know me, Emily Nelson. I'm the Conservation Outreach Coordinator, and I organize a lot of our public events and social outreach. Tim Burns, our conservation technician, was out of the office while I was recording everyone's introductions, but you may remember him from an interview I did with him this past summer on the forestry work that he's been doing in Lake County. And then finally, there's Dan Schutte, our district manager, and now we'll go to my interview with him about what we've all been up to this past year.
Just to start off, let's talk about this past year, some highlights from projects we've been doing this past year.
Yeah, we've had a really active year here with our Lake County Soil and Water Conservation District. One of the main highlights that will be guiding a lot of our work for the next 5 to 10 years, really, is this One Watershed, One Plan comprehensive watershed planning effort that we've been undertaking with Cook County Soil and Water Conservation District, and then both Cook and Lake counties. Over the last 2 years, we've got a plan developed that lays out a lot of the highest priority water quality opportunities and issues in the North Shore Lake Superior area. And, you know, I think one of the punchlines from that is we've got a lot of great resources that are worthy of protection, and we've got a few things that we know could use some work to, you know, correct an issue with stormwater management or solve a problem with erosion in a few different areas. So we're really excited about that. The counties and the Soil and Water Conservation Districts will be working together closely over the next 10 years and bringing in municipalities on the North Shore. This plan has a lot of opportunity for a lot of different folks to plug into, both for getting work done and getting funding to get work done. So very excited to be one of five areas in the state so far to have that comprehensive watershed plan completed.
Yeah, and then that plan is going to be leading the way on a lot of the projects that we're going to be doing.
Yeah.
Spelling out the details of what we should prioritize and work on.
Absolutely, yep. And lays out a time frame for it, and, you know, who's taking the lead on the project. And yeah, you said it best. It lays out a lot of what is going to be coming down the pike. And so, you know, some of those things that for us are really exciting also build on past or our ongoing projects right now. One of those is a countywide culvert inventory that over the last two summers we've been assessing over 1,300 culverts in Lake County. And, you know, through that, we're finding culverts that aren't capable of passing the water and the sediment and letting fish swim up them as they should be. And so, you know, using all that information, we can find the heaviest offenders, call them, you know, the worst of the worst culverts. And those should be very viable for funding opportunities to help replace those. So, mm-hmm. You know, in that sense, Soil and Water is happy because we're likely going to be solving an erosion problem or an aquatic fish passage or organism passage somehow for a culvert that wasn't letting things move through it. And then, you know, from an infrastructural standpoint, these culverts are going to be county culverts, possibly township culverts, municipal culverts, and we'll be able to help fund some of those upgrades. So we'll serve multiple benefits, you know, infrastructural and natural resource benefits, just having that data in hand. So this winter, we're going to be cleaning up that data. It'll be public for everyone in the state to take a look at if they'd like to. And then internally here in Lake County, we'll start using that to guide future projects on the ground. So great. That's very exciting, yeah.
And we're not going to be the ones actually fixing the culverts, are we?
It depends on how that goes. You know, if we are able, Soil and Water is able to acquire the funding, we do have engineering staff in our office that might well be the ones to go out and, you know, do the survey and draw up what, you know, how big should the culvert be and what type should it be. So we might be involved with some of that, but at the very least, we'll just be able to give folks the information where they can make informed decisions from with the upgrades or replacements or what have you.
Great.
Yeah. So that's the culvert inventory is one big thing that we're excited about. And then forestry activities this year, we were able to hire a forester. So we've got a gentleman in the office, Tim Burns, who's able to write forestry plans, forest stewardship plans, and really just be a local contact for private landowners that want to engage with forestry management on their land, you know. And that can range from getting invasive species like buckthorn or Japanese barberry out of your forest to clearing balsam trees that have been affected by spruce budworm. And then, you know, the end goal of all that is to get a healthy forest established there at that site. So, you know, assistance with figuring out what tree species would do best on your landscape, and then even connecting folks with funding and resources to, you know, acquire trees and get them planted on their land, protect them from deer browsing. So we're, you know, in a forested landscape, we're just thrilled to have a forester on staff that can service, you know, a wide variety of landowners.
And he's really hit the ground running with
he has
plans written out there and doing site visits. And
yep, he has. I think he's completed close to 40 site visits this year, which are that's no small feat to drive. You know, Lake County's huge, so driving to a site and meeting with the landowner, walking a property that could be 5 acres or it could be 300 acres, and you know, assessing what's there and getting a plan together. Yeah, he has really been out and about, and we've got through his efforts, we've gotten close to 20 landowners connected with federal funding programs that, you know, if their plan is approved and their contract's approved on the federal side of things, then we can help them implement some of these invasive species removal or balsam fir thinning, fuels reductions, and, you know, diversity tree and shrub plantings. We can help them implement those things. And so, you know, the landowner gets a payment directly to them for implementing these practices, and we can help with the planning process. So we're very excited about that service that we're able to provide to Lake County landowners.
Yeah. How about flood relief?
Yeah, that 2012 flood is still around. The effects of it are still around. And since, you know, since the fall of 2012, we've had funding in our office and a project queue of repair activities for landowners. So thankfully, we're getting towards the end of that list, and I think 2017 we'll see completion of most of those funding projects. And you know, the question immediately is like, "Geez, we're 5 years out from the flood. You know, what's taking so long?" And in all honesty, you know, we're working with the same engineering department that's servicing the Duluth area from those flooding concerns, and we had all of our other projects kind of going, and so, you know, to get that big, I think we administered over 25 or 30 projects. Some of them started before I was even here with flood repair. And so to have that many projects kind of placed on top of your existing workload, it's been a little bit of a grind to get through them. But they're important projects, and the projects that we have completed, the landowners are thrilled for the help. And we've even been able to look at some sites that were affected by the flood and look at the whole site, look at stormwater management, and hopefully put some things in the ground that'll help to prevent future issues with future flooding, which is really inevitable. You know, more frequent, larger magnitude storm events seem to be more the norm, which we've all started to notice more and more. So I think we have to anticipate more floods. Another relic of the flood in our area was a pretty major issue up in the city of Silver Bay, right north of their golf course. We knew that the area was damaged during a flood, but in the initial assessment and budgeting for what it would take, we just didn't have the full view of the scope of what it was going to take. And so there was an area, the east branch of the Beaver River, right before it gets into the Silver Bay Golf Course, that was dramatically affected by the flood. You know, a lot of sediment, rocks kind of came down the river and were laid out over this about 1,200 feet of stream, and really goofed up the movement of the water and the sediment, and, you know, covered up some of the fish habitat that was in that area. And so, long story short, we searched out more funds, and the DNR, we're very thankful and appreciative to them. They provided significant funding to facilitate a major stream restoration project there on the city of Silver Bay property. And so currently that project's being designed over this winter, and then it should be constructed next year. But the end result of that project is going to be significantly better protection for the Silver Bay Golf Course from future flooding events. And then there's also going to be great fish habitat created as part of that project. There's a DNR fishing easement that's going to be placed on the river to help accommodate this project. And so moving forward, you know, everybody who buys a fishing license in Minnesota will be able to access, I think it's a total of 2,733 feet of the East Beaver River to go fish brook trout and whatever they're chasing that day. So,
great.
Yeah, it's really exciting. We're thrilled to be able to see that project through to the end.
Yeah. Do you know if people can look up the maps for easements to find where those places are that they could go fishing?
Yes. Those easements are on the DNR website in map format. And I don't have the address right in front of me, of course, but if folks, you know, search trout easements on the Minnesota DNR website, I'm sure you'd find those maps. So that's a great collective look. One thing I will say about this particular project is the easement paperwork hasn't all been finalized and filed yet. So that if you were looking for that specific easement, it wouldn't show up yet, but it will be as soon as, it will be online as soon as all the paperwork's finalized and everything's approved. So. Mm-hmm. And then one more exciting thing that just came to mind, we, Lake County Soil and Water just recently received a funding to initiate stormwater, analysis for the, in the cities of Two Harbors and Silver Bay. And so we're really excited about that. Both communities have dealt with, you know, localized flooding or, you know, infrastructural concerns in the past, just due to the, you know, development and things not being quite laid out enough to get the water away from where we don't want it to where we want it. And so through that project, we'll be able to do more in-depth analysis of what water is doing on top of the landscape as far as where it's running during a big storm event, and then how the infrastructure, the pipes underneath the ground are able to handle these storm events. And so the end product of that should be a digital kind of a stormwater infrastructure map for both municipalities that they'll then be able to, you know, use for planning purposes, identify areas that might be a higher priority for repairs or replacements of infrastructure, maybe tie it in with street plans for resurfacing or rebuilding streets and make sure if there's a stormwater concern there, say with the pipe underneath the street, that we're addressing that at the same time. So we're really excited about that. And again, a lot of these things, once you have the information that shows where a problem is, it's a lot easier to find money to fix the problem. If the proof is right there, like, hey, you know, we did our work. We know there's a problem here. We know we need to fix it. Can you help us with that? And a lot of times those grant pursuits or bonding conversations to get, you know, big money in a municipality to fix some of these problems. I think this process will really help set the stage for that moving mm-hmm. forward. So that's something that'll be happening over the next couple of years in Two Harbors and Silver Bay. And we're very excited about that too. I think it'll be a great, great resource for the communities.
Yeah.
I'm just going to interrupt quickly to remind everyone you're listening to Conservation Corner here on 99.5 FM, KTWHLP, Two Harbors, Minnesota. I'm Emily Nelson, and today I'm talking with Lake County Soil and Water Conservation District District Manager Dan Schutte about all of the work that we've been doing at the district this past year.
So here in the last couple weeks of December, we're just getting ready to hire an aquatic invasive species coordinator through Lake County Soil and Water. And as a lot of people know, the state provided pretty significant funding to all the county governments to further AIS, aquatic invasive species prevention, management, inventorying, AIS management activities. And so Lake County has provided the funding for Soil and Water to hire an aquatic invasive species coordinator. And we had an outstanding pool of applicants. And we just did interviews here in the last couple weeks of December. And I think by mid-January, we'll have an aquatic invasive species coordinator set up and running in our office, which is going to be a huge asset to a lot of folks. This person will be available to help, you know, with community outreach efforts, presentations, getting information to outfitters or resorts. And just, you know, really, Lake County has an aquatic invasive species management plan in place. And this individual will be responsible for, you know, seeing that plan through, hiring additional staff if needed for seasonal help and going out and chatting with the folks that request information and just kind of overseeing the whole aquatic invasive species management here in Lake County at the local government level. So
yeah,
we're very excited about that.
Yeah, so up until now, we've had a lot of aquatic invasive species work, but people haven't had it as their dedicated position title.
Yeah.
And so been putting some hours to that, and we've been doing a lot of great, you know, efforts and
yeah,
getting work done, but it's going to be wonderful having a dedicated staff person to take over that role.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, like we talked about before, this is one of some of the greatest waters in the country are right in our backyard here. And really one of the biggest threats that we've seen anecdotally around the state with Mille Lacs or what have you, that aquatic invasive species, we know they have major natural resource effects and they have yes. major economical effects in the case of zebra mussels. I think, you know, that's one of the greatest threats to our water quality up here is this, is the introduction of new aquatic invasive species where they aren't yet. And I think in the long term to have, you know, more of that education and the resources available for people to really make responsible decisions about their own actions. That's what it really comes down to, is every individual being aware of aquatic invasive species and understanding their impacts and then knowing the steps they can take to really prevent, you know, it stops mm-hmm. with them. Type attitude is what we need everybody to kind of adopt for this. So this person should really help kind of further that ethic here in our area.
What have we done this year for terrestrial invasives? We've actually done a lot of good work out there.
Yeah. So this year we've been pretty active with terrestrial invasive species. We have treated some pretty large areas of Japanese barberry in the Larsmont area, which is of significant concern. Getting into the woods, it really takes over areas, and it seems to really increase the occurrence of Lyme's disease in those areas. So, you know, for a lot of reasons, that's a good one to stay on top of. And we've made some pretty big strides both in identifying areas where there is Japanese barberry and then treating those areas when we find them. So feel really good about that. And we've also been working on buckthorn here at the City of Two Harbors. We've treated several areas on City of Two Harbors land, cleared the seed-bearing buckthorn trees off of the area. So we know that you know, there's no new buckthorn coming into the area off of those trees anyway. And then we'll follow up with those sites for the next, unfortunately, probably 3 to 5 years. We'll be back at those sites making sure that we got everything and that any new seeds in the ground, that we're taking care of those seedlings once they germinate. So both of those projects we feel really good about, the buckthorn and the barberry treatments. And then the City of Two Harbors had a couple big Japanese knotweed patches over in Memorial Park, kind of over by Burlington Bay. And we were able to contract some help treating those infestations as well. So again, these plants on the landscape, they're kind of like bullies, you know, they take over space from everything that that should be there. And all the better if over the next few years we can get rid of them and then establish some of the native plants that we all know and love and that help the rest of the ecology of the area out more than some of the invasives. So next year I know we're going to really be furthering our terrestrial invasive species inventory efforts, getting outside of the urban areas and really trying to identify the leading edge, you know, how far have these spread outside of Two Harbors to the northeast. And then once we find that leading edge, you know, that allows us to really target our management activities to know that, you know, if we work here, it's not going to get any further past this point, and we can actually keep working it back to its origin, you know, more along the North Shore and towards Two Harbors and towards Duluth. So we're really looking to set up a line of defense between where it is now and the Superior National Forest or the Boundary Waters Canoe Area or the state parks along the North Shore. That'd be a terrible loss if we did wind up with those areas that we love and drive the economics of the area through tourism in a lot of ways. If they were taken over by invasive species, I think we don't really know what the impacts would be, but we know none of them would be good in terms of natural resource or economy or any of that stuff. So
yep, and we're also going to be holding a few workshops to teach people how to do surveys themselves, or if you're just going on a hike through the woods and you see some invasive species, you don't actually need an internet connection at the time when you're taking pictures and logging the plant. When you get back home, you can connect to the internet and upload your data online, and then we're able to access it and use that information to go out and treat invasive species, or at least get an idea of the range of the species.
Absolutely. I think that's going to be a great just ability to tap into the members of the public. I mean, there's so many people that are interested and are out and about and are noticing these things. And a lot of times people might just not know where to plug that information in. So to have a, you know, an app on your iPhone and be able to feed into that, that's, we can't even quantify how much that's worth to us to have that information. It's a huge benefit.
We'll be publicizing those workshops on our Facebook page and website. So
super.
All right, well, thank you for joining me, Dan, and thank you all for tuning in to Conservation Corner here on 99.5 FM, KTWH-LP, Two Harbors, Minnesota. Conservation Corner was produced by Lake County Soil and Water Conservation District with funding from NOAA and the Office for Coastal Management, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, and the Clean Water, Land, and Legacy Amendment. Thanks again for tuning in. I'm Emily Nelson, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday season.